Hello and welcome to the Tech on Toast podcast. My name's Chris Fletcher and I'm your host. Tech on Toast exists to connect hospitality to technology. Search for your best problem-solving tech on our marketplace, listen to both operators and tech experts on our podcast, or just meet up with the brilliant people who are helping innovate the hospitality industry as we enter a new era. Welcome to Tech on Toast. The Tech on Toast podcast is brought today by Point One. Point One offers the complete EPOS system for your hospitality business. From mobile order and pay and self-serve kiosks to restaurant and kitchen management, Point One has the solution. Head over to their website today to find out more and get in touch with their experienced team. Enjoy the show. Right, welcome to the next episode of the Tech on Toast podcast. And today I'm joined by Prithi Danda.
Close enough.
Founder and CEO of Sentiment Search. Close enough, just not good, Prithi. How do I, did I get it right that time?
Yeah, that was good.
Right, there you go. Everyone knows that my welcomes are almost legendary on this podcast. I'm really bad at them. So anyway, look, thanks very much for coming down. We're back at Brewdog in Waterloo. And before we start, tell me a little bit about you, because we've met once. And yep. I don't know if anyone's seen your videos on LinkedIn, but they are also legendary.
Thank you.
We'll get into them in a minute. But yeah, tell us a little bit about you and explain what Sentiment Search does.
Yeah, first of all, thank you for having me here.
You're welcome.
So my background is actually software development and AI. I've worked in a number of companies, big and small, as a data engineer, data scientist, analytics consultant, no hospitality experience whatsoever. So that's my background. I have been working on this part-time from 2017 to 2019 as a side hustle. It was just me. And then I got a bit of funding from a company called Techstars. It's a pretty prestigious startup accelerator. So that was in 2019. And since then, it's been no looking back now. We're a team of four guys with a few contractors as well.
That's amazing, isn't it? You don't have hospitality experience. Because what you're doing is, what you're measuring, I suppose, is the essence of hospitality.
Yeah, exactly. So I've worked in so many companies where I'm a tech guy, as I mentioned. So I know AI and tech inside out. And I can see the discrepancy from the engineers and the salespeople and how they don't see, how it doesn't meet properly.
Yeah.
And I see that in every industry. So even in hospitality, yes, we have so many technologies, but the actual application of that in the industry, I think, is very poor. It's getting better and better over time now because technology is cheap, it's accessible, it's powerful for everyone. So there are more guys more players now in the field. But yeah, when I started this, it was I thought the existing competitors were hideous, as I always say.
One thing you're going to find out over the next 20 minutes or so is that he doesn't hold back.
Yeah. I think like the amount of money they charge, the kind of insights they produce, some of them still show word clouds, which I think is a crime. I mean, that shouldn't exist in this day and age. But yeah, in terms of what Sentiment Search does.
Yes, better explain that before you destroy everyone else.
So we specialize in review insights, comparative benchmarking, and feedback collection for hospitality. The ultimate goal is to help a business improve its online ratings. And the way we do that is by benchmarking every aspect of their business in unprecedented detail, as I always say. So we'll give you scores for like food, service, ambiance, a whole bunch of other categories, but we'll break that down very meticulously. Okay, what is the score for your quality, your freshness, your texture of food, your portion sizes? What is the score for your speed of service, your efficiency? Are the orders coming in wrong? Is the team polite? So literally every single category and subcategory are scored, and we'll do the same thing for the competition as well. So you can really pinpoint exactly where your weaknesses are, make very targeted adjustments, and ultimately improve your online ratings.
See, when you talk, I actually don't believe that you haven't been in hospitality, because obviously you're talking about the stuff that matters to us.
Right.
You're talking about the things that matter to the operators.
Which is the beauty of a bootstrap company, right? So because I built the whole thing myself initially, I had like
all... You've been to school, haven't you?
Yes, I had all the time in the world to validate exactly how... what the pain points are, what tech can apply, what doesn't work. And there was no pressure. I was working a full-time job, so there was no pressure for me to make decisions in a hasty fashion. It was just purely the passion of solving a problem to the best of my ability.
And you would argue that's why your product is superior, that actually, because you are a product person, developer.
Exactly.
And that sometimes, and I'm not naming any names, but other products potentially would be led more from a founder-led point of view with other people supporting him or her, whereas you are it.
Exactly. So, I mean, I don't think, obviously, the other options are bad options in terms of the dynamic of a company. But
in comparison.
Yeah, exactly. So I think if you look at a bootstrap company and a founder who's tech and has learned the business side of things, and you look at a company that has a split CTO, CEO, and fundraise, I think the dynamics are very different.
Yeah.
And the decision-making lens is also very different.
Yeah.
Which is why I think,
you like control, don't you?
Yeah, I do. You have to. You have to be a bit psychotic to be a founder, I think, right? As I'm sure everybody knows.
Yeah, I think so. And what's happened very quickly for you,
And I, you know, and I was an operator for 20 odd years and trying to get decent feedback. I think Mystery Diners, when I was there, when I was in ops, it was feedback were just arriving, I suppose, as I was leaving operations. And HGEM were doing all the Mystery Diner surveys and everything like that. And it was very much that's what scope we had. I don't know if you heard of a company called Sprinklr.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, so Sprinklr came in and started doing the the word cloud. Yeah. Don't shoot me. they started doing the word cloud. But still, we were really, I felt, far away from the truth in terms of what was actually happening in our business. And I think we had a quick demo, didn't we, with Sentiment Search when you showed me what it could do. And very quickly, I had a real clean picture of a business that you were showing me, which was look really honest.
Exactly. So not only have we pissed off the competition, but we also pissed off some customers because they didn't really know how bad their business was in a very quantified fashion. So the GM or the CEO might think, yeah, I know my speed of service is a bit bad. I know my competition is doing a slightly better job. But when you put it on paper in numbers, you can see it in black and white. Like, actually, it's appalling. Your speed of service is so poor. And so it's a shock in the beginning. It really annoys some GMs because they think they're doing a good job, but they're not.
Yeah.
But what comes out of that is very quickly you see an increase in ratings, which over time will give you a nice increase in revenue as well.
And I mean, I'm going off topic here, but you can match that, right? Or you can how close are you getting to matching improvement in guest experience or guest or efficiencies versus turnover?
So it's not a very straightforward equation. There are many variables that come into play. I mean, like seasonal changes, where the location is based, things like COVID. I mean, there's so many things that come into play. But yes, overall, we can get about a 4-6% increase in revenue. That's approximately the case study that we've done from a number of customers.
And how are you measuring against competitor sets? How are you doing that?
So, I mean, as long as we... So we have APIs with all the big companies, TripAdvisor, Google, etc. Yeah. It's very expensive, but we have these APIs. So we crawl like 60,000 restaurants on a daily basis in the UK.
Wow.
So I can slice and dice that market in any combination and tell you who's the best burger in your 1 mile radius, who's the best burger brand across the UK, who's the best burger in the north of the UK. I mean, you can really slice and dice however you see fit.
That's so powerful. Again, running sites as I did, you would look out the window on a quiet day and look at your competitor with a queue or look at them. And you'd put it down to often the GM or, you know, because we're in the same postcode. How can they be better than me? But actually, there are, as you said, there's a lot of variables that can lead to that and often down to service, right? And down to experience.
Exactly. And it's very anecdotal at the moment, right? Even the competitors that we currently compete against in the market. I would say, like, the level of detail is not good enough. And especially for the money they charge, it's not good enough.
And what builds your detail then? How, I mean, because you're a developer, where does it come from?
It's the AI.
Right.
So I built, like, the whole natural language processing AI myself. So my passion is AI and how good you can apply that to free text and language and decipher these insights. I have a very big... I'm very curious in that fashion. So I literally spent like a couple of years building first an MVP, which went to Amazon and got all the reviews for all the phones.
Wow.
And told me exactly, okay, screen, battery time, expense, quality, warranty. So literally just putting that all together in a very concise fashion. And so I sort of learned the basics of NLP from there. And then I applied that to, okay, what industry has a lot of polarity and a lot of opinion and masses of feedback, and enter hospitality. So,
I was just saying, as a kid, just because I'm interested, did you know that you were going this way? Did you know? Because obviously you've got a talent. It's something that's within you. Is it something you were taught, or is it something you kind of knew straight from school? Or
I mean, I always had a passion for AI. When I was a kid, I'm 35 now, so
AI wasn't pulling out roots then, was it?
The internet just caught on when I was like in my teens, I guess, or just before that. But my main programming, the seed was planted actually. There's a Lego robotics kit called Mindstorms, which I started programming with, and that sort of stemmed planted the seed for the rest of the AI journey. Yeah,
and it's an obsessive thing, isn't it?
It is. Yeah, I mean, I do sales now 24/7 for my company.
Yeah.
But when I want to de-stress, I can just sit there with a piece of code and just write that like for 25 hours straight, and no questions asked. It's such a powerful and therapeutic thing almost, right? Because you have the ability to create literally whatever you want with a laptop now. As I mentioned, the tools available to any person even in school can create something that will match an enterprise grade. Not enterprise grade, but you get my point.
Like
it can match something that's being sold to big companies. So the thought of that, the ability to create that with a laptop is extremely seductive for me. So I can just sit there and just, if I have an idea, I'll just code that 24/7. Yeah,
I love it. I mean, I don't know if you know Adam from Support Wizard, don't you?
Yeah, of course.
You and Adam in a room would be frightening. Yeah, I've got his podcast next week. I'm about to book out 3 hours.
Honestly, he introduced me to you, actually.
Oh yeah, he did, didn't he? Yeah. So yeah, he's. But like, I find it fascinating, and I think for operators listening in, if I want someone in charge of my product, I want a developer,
right?
Because I'm guessing, because you're creating a lot of insight for them in detail.
Yep.
How are they using it, I suppose, or is it a problem? Because sometimes it's data overload, right? There's too much.
Yes.
But how are they using it, and how is it successful?
So yes, that's also one area where I think we've done a really good job. Is engineers like myself often are guilty of overloading people with data, and we enjoy the engineering aspect more than the actual business ROI aspect. But I think we've done a very good job of distilling all that information down to very simple nuggets that are given by emails, by very simple dashboards, and that sort of has been the key to our success. So even though you might have a fantastic product, if it's not delivered properly to the customer, it won't work. So I think just the simplicity of our dashboard, I mean, people live inside our dashboard the whole day pretty much, and our reports. I mean, we see the open rates, it's absolutely inspiring. So we know we're done a very good and simple job of keeping that.
And your growth is, so you 2017, you started.
I had 18 customers at the end of 2019 when it was a side hustle.
Right.
So 18 restaurants I was working with.
How do they feel? Because obviously they know that you're not a big company. You don't have. Does that bother operators when they're signing? Back then when they were signing, I know it's slightly different now, but.
No, it didn't. I mean, I lied, to be honest. I didn't tell them it was a side hustle.
You didn't lie, you just didn't tell them.
I never disclosed the actual number of people we were, because that would put them off, like, our first.
You just wonder. Like, I just wonder. It's interesting because I don't know if they take that into account, but they must think, you know.
Yeah, like the very
is
first
the support
customer,
there.
Yeah, the very first customer was Masala Zone, Chutney Mary Amaya.
Right, okay.
And the gentleman knew it was only me, but he really liked the product, and he was very meticulous in the way he validated the company. So he took a shot. They're still our customer, Touchwood.
Great.
And doing great. But yeah, at the time we had only 18 restaurants.
18 locations?
18 locations, sorry.
Wow, okay, so it was right at the start.
Yeah, exactly.
And how many are you up to now?
Tech on Toast is pleased to announce that HRC Hotel, Restaurant and Catering is returning to London on the 25th to the 27th of March 2024 at the XL. Discover game-changing trends, network with industry leaders, and explore cutting-edge solutions that will elevate your business. Mark your calendars for an unforgettable experience at HRC, as this is where the future of hospitality unfolds. Don't miss out. To find out more, check out the website www.hrc.co.uk.
How many are you up to now? Chatting.
Over 5,000.
Oh my God.
Yeah, and UK, US.
Is it still you?
There's three or four full-time, there's four full-time guys, and there's three or four contractors.
That's a great business model. I was just talking about business models on the last podcast, actually. What a great model that is, that you've scaled something to that point with.
Exactly.
With a very efficient team, I imagine.
Yeah, and I'm very lucky to have found my CTO, who I consider basically now a founder of the company.
Yeah.
He was a very good friend. And between him and me, I'm more of the loose cannon in terms of engineering and development and ideas.
I'm going to build something. Yeah.
And he keeps me a bit more in my place. But he's the key to this.
And do you have salespeople or not?
It's just me.
Are you joking?
So literally, sales.
5,000 locations.
All cold emails. Just cold emails. And now, because we've built a bit more of a name for ourselves,
yes,
we do get more referrals. So that has picked up a lot.
If you had to percentagize, how much of that came to you rather than you going to get it?
So
up till
Jan 2023, 90% was cold emails.
Right.
And it's only now we've signed a few big brands, like a Boprin restaurant group we signed recently.
Wow.
We signed a couple of big US franchises who are in the UK.
Why do you think you're so convinced? I mean, your product's great. I've seen it. It's amazing. But you've obviously got a talent there as well. I mean, you're great on the mic, so.
Thank you. So it's literally just, it's a numbers game, right? So first of all, the email has to be very tailored. I mean, everybody knows this. I won't give like a one-on-one.
I think there's some startups or some people listening think, it'd be useful, right? Because you've done really well.
So thank you. So, I mean, just like literally, so if I'm approaching a company, I'll set up their demo in our dashboard with live data. I'll take screenshots from our dashboard, compare them in competition, put that in an email sequence, like three or four emails, send that off to them.
That's the power, isn't it, there, that you've actually got
it's customized.
Actionable data for them to look at straight away, and they're reading something they probably don't want to read, maybe?
Yes, exactly. And that's
is that the way you go with it?
Yes, of course. That's you have to poke them, right? So like, you suck at service, and these guys are much better, and then you get a response back.
Wow.
And so I've had many companies...
Yeah, I definitely would have replied, but I was up straight up like, what?
Exactly. So, I mean, I've had many referrals where it was from a very happy customer referred us to a couple of big brands, and they said, yes, we'll get in touch with you, blah, blah, blah. We're very busy today, but come back next week or whatever, and I'll send them an email with here's live data from the dashboard, XYZ is bad, and literally the last customer we signed was within a week. The call was the same.
Do you think they're looking at, do you think they go and look at it within the business and check it?
I mean, I think it's a shock to them when they see some of the things which they didn't actually know was all anecdotal before. Now it's very straightforward against the competition, and yeah, it's more of a shock factor that look.
And that's interesting, right? Because as an area manager, when I had 48 sites, or a regional director, I had 48 sites, and in my gut, I kind of knew what was going on, right? I thought I was quite good at understanding. Right. And I think most area managers listening to this will go, yeah, I totally hear what you're saying. You kind of sat in your car going, don't need to go there. I trust them. They're good. I know what they're doing. But that doesn't mean that their service score was actually worse than the guy I was worrying about.
Exactly.
And I think that's the power of data now, that you can actually say, as a multi-site operator, you can sit there and make decisions based on the data, but real data.
Exactly. And at the end of the day, that's exactly what a product is. It's actually, if I just had to show you one insight from our dashboard, it's this one table where we have a breakdown of your categories, subcategories, scores, and mentions. And that simple table itself is already a game changer for most of our customers. We have a whole bunch of other fancy bells and whistles, obviously, which we throw on. But that itself, such a simple tool. Here are your scores, here are your categories, go fix it.
And that makes you sticky in a business, right? For you.
Exactly. So it's like a drug pusher like philosophy, right? So when someone says, no, I don't want to sign up, I'll say, okay, so take it for a month for free. Take it for 3 months for free. I'll give you all the features. And I know 99% of the time, after the 3 months, they will be locked in. And that's it.
You're a drug dealer. Love it. First one on the podcast. Anyway, that's great.
I mean, I'm the cleanest guy you'll ever meet.
No, I know.
I'm 24/7, Jim, just for the record.
But that's really backing your product, isn't it? Yeah. Like, your confidence is obvious on you know, talking to you here. But I think your faith in what you can do as a product. And I think guest experience is one of those things that operators can't let go. It's like that. Well, it's your life. It's your oxygen.
Yeah, it's like a heartbeat of the company, right?
Yeah.
In essence.
And yeah. If you get it wrong, you quickly go down. I mean, I remember we used to do a trade meeting, we used to call it, I think, where we'd have all the directors in and we'd talk about all the 110 sites and we'd look at what was going wrong where, and we'd have these little... This really before the days of data was fantastic. It was all through... IBM Cognos.
Okay.
Yeah, it was all through Cognos, and it was showing us some graphs here and there. But I used to sit there looking at them going, but I know that person is decent. I don't know why that's happening. But now I know, right? Or now I could know.
Exactly. And like, it's almost like a search engine for businesses. So like, we just signed, as mentioned, Boprin, who have 170 sites. They have reviews on Google.
Slim Chickens, Carluccio's.
Gourmet Burger Kitchen. Yeah, Cinnamon Collection. So they have Google reviews, Facebook, TripAdvisor, Instagram, Deliveroo, Uber Eats, Just Eat. I mean, you name it. There's I think there's Glassdoor in some cases, and Yelp and Design My Night. So, I mean, we can literally sift out a particular genre. So let's say, how many times is my chicken raw on a Saturday? And within a click, you'll get an exact number of...
across the estate.
Across the estate. Within clicks, you can get these insights. And so we can tell you which dishes do well on weekends, which ones don't, how your service is, do you need to have spot checks for cleanliness. Most of our customers have actually introduced like bonus schemes on the sentiments that we extract, and say, okay, if your sentiment is below 7 on 10, no bonus for you. If it's a 6.5 or whatever, 8 on 10, depending on that. I mean, they have league tables.
So it's not just guest experience, is it? Because when you're talking about menu development, potentially.
Yes, absolutely.
And other things that can be influenced through data. Exactly. From guests, I suppose.
Yeah, so I mean, it's almost like we're a piece of the infrastructure and operations, right? So we help you on a daily basis on the guest management side of things, but also how do we incentivize your teams, bonus schemes, as I mentioned, and things of that nature.
And while you're here, I have to ask about AI, because obviously you're a whiz with AI. And for us normal humans, AI has only really appeared the last 6 months, right? That we're all going, ooh,
right.
I can go and write a blog now, you know, much easier than I used to.
Right.
Where do you think it's at now? And where do you think it's going to get to? Because obviously people are throwing out scary stories and whatnot.
Yeah, I mean, those scary stories have been around forever. Obviously, with ChatGPT, just sort of like catapulted into like another trajectory of a frenzy, I would say. Honestly, I'm not sure. Like, there's so many new technologies, and the applications of them are still all up in the air. Like, NFTs came out some time back, and people were going gaga over them, and now I don't even hear of an NFT. So I think it takes a time for people just to soak that up, just let it simmer for a bit. How can we use ChatGPT on a daily basis? We have some pretty neat use cases we're already developing, but I don't know as yet, to be honest. Like, generative AI is a massive leap, I mean, from an AI point of view. But will it help in marketing? Will it help in replying to reviews? Will that help in other aspects of hospitality? I'm not sure as yet.
Because because you use it firmly in what you're doing, right? In sentiment search, it's very much driving what you're doing.
Yeah, I mean, that's I guess that AI is more of it's the sentiment analysis AI, which has been around again for many, many years.
Yeah.
But the new branch of AI is the generative AI, as it's called, which is AI can actually do work for you, like write an essay for you.
Replace humans, potentially.
Yes, create an image for you, write your marketing content for you. So, yeah, I'm experimenting with use cases, but I'm still not 100% sure. And if I was, I would still hold my cards close to my chest. That would be a comparative
just in case. I love that. And how linked... We asked about guest feedback to turnover. Do you see success through the businesses you already have on the platform? Can you see success cases where, as you were talking about then, that people are looking at their numbers, then moving forward?
I'm going to be doing a video on this, actually, on LinkedIn.
There's a surprise.
Yeah, so it's literally, like, within some cases, within 4 weeks to, like, 3 or 4 months, like, half a star at least increase in online rating across most of our big customers.
That's insane.
It's actually insane.
Is it just because they're shining the light on that particular problem at that point, or does that stay consistently then when they've stayed with you?
Someone like Turtle Bay, who's been with us for a long time, their ratings are at 4.8, 4.9 throughout the year, and that's because they are so meticulous with the way they benchmark and analyze on a daily basis and feed that down to their company, their GMs.
So if I went into one of their sites, their GM would they would have a sentiment search 100%. Dashboard.
Yeah, I mean, those guys are one of the most powerful users of our dashboard, I would say.
Your biggest raving fans.
Yeah, they are. And they've also helped us a lot in the development, actually, of the dashboard.
They're a very good brand as well. We do some with the Toller, we do some work with them. Their people are really cool.
They are, yeah.
They just seem to have a good bunch of humans working for them, which obviously leads to the fact that one of the GMs was showing me a video of her site up in Leicester in Highcross.
Right.
And she was showing me some videos of the team on a Saturday night, and she was going, we do about 20 grand normally and all this kind of stuff, but it was just like, wow. But she took it in her stride, and they just seemed really great.
Numbers are fantastic. The team is fantastic, and a big shout out to them, because they have helped me a lot in validation since they were my first big customer, I would say. Like, it was, I think, 45 sites when I first signed them, or 40 sites.
And what's it like? So if I sign up today to sentiment search, how quickly am I onboarded? And
guaranteed within 24 hours. So, like, literally, you give us access to your Google accounts, a few other Facebook, whatever you want, and then you give us the hierarchy of your business. So, like, let's say in case of Boparin, like, if you have your brand, you have your sub managers, your air managers, you have your GMs, give us that breakdown, and we'll import that into our dashboard, and you're good to go. Obviously is another aspect. We don't charge for training. We'd have no onboarding fee. Training, like, that's the only
one. What do you do? Bring people on a video call and do it that way?
Yeah. If it takes 20 video calls over 2 weeks, depending on how big the company is, and it's all free.
I'm just laughing. You're the best. But if someone listens to this, is like, okay, this guy talks a good game. If they wanted to just come to you and say, right, okay, give me a shot, how long can they trial it for? I mean, or is it on a user?
It's on a user,
case by case.
So, I mean, a month is a no-brainer. Take it for a month. And depending on, like, if you're already using someone, we'll give it to you for a bit longer, maybe until their contract expires. Depends how long that is. If you're already happy from the get-go, then, 24 hours and you're live.
And what else are you looking at with sentiment search? How far can you go with it? Because obviously you're covering anything from food to speed, guest complaints, whatever it might be, feedback.
Yeah, I mean, at the moment it's feedback. We're developing a big engagement arm as well. We did a lot of prototyping for publishing content using generative AI, for marketing teams. There's a few POCs that we're working with, but... instantly, what we can do is we're already diversifying into other industries like hospitals, cinemas, gyms, airlines. So it's the same language that's used on these review platforms, right? So we can very easily move our model from...
Yeah, because they're all using the big boys, right?
Exactly. And they all have the same pain points. There's not enough detail and they're paying an arm and a leg.
So I was about to say, are they experiencing the same kind of...
Exactly the same problems. And that's just... a big untapped market.
Music to your ears.
Exactly. So literally, like we were traveling with a couple of airlines pre-COVID that just fell flat on its face after COVID. But we're working with a couple of big hospital chains in, I say chains because I'm used to hospitality, a big hospital
brand. See, look, we've already brainwashed you. It worked.
A few hospital brands in India. We're working with some very big gyms in the US. So anyone who has enough feedback online for us to sort of harness and give you details on is a potential customer.
It's fantastic. And the scale is so quick. But where's the end game? Is there one?
I don't know. I mean, that's a very VC question, right? So, like, initially, I spoke to a few VCs and they said, "Oh yeah, like, how will you make this a billion-dollar company?" And I don't know. I mean, that's not how I like think of the company. It's more of a very organic, very.
I'm not sure you could handle someone sitting on your shoulder telling you what to do.
Probably not. Yeah, I'm a bit of a control freak, as you said. But yeah, I don't feel like that at the moment. Just like one baby step at a time, and we'll see where it goes.
And I mean, I literally, you've flown through this. What's the future for you then? So you've got you're up to what, 5,000 locations now?
Yeah.
And what's the plan for the next 12 months? Is there anything particular or is it just more of the same?
I mean, yeah, end of 2024, about 12,000 locations would be a very desirable number. But again, business plans, again, all just numbers at the end of the day.
Yeah, you might have another pandemic. God forbid. Yeah, exactly. No, obviously.
I'm not a big believer in forecasting what you will not achieve, but it's good to have a reference. So about 12,000 locations.
Well, all I would say is anybody listening, if you haven't seen this product yet, you need to go and see it, Sentiment Search.
Thank you.
And if they want to get hold of you and ask you and basically get a free demo and have a little test drive, how do they get hold of you? Where's the best place to find you?
The website or I don't know if you could put my email address or,
I can put all that in the copy send it out fine. You can give your email out, people will write it down.
Prithvi@sentimentsearch.com. So anybody wants that, just
I'm going to spell it as well because I couldn't. So it's Prithvi at sentimentsearch.com.
That is correct. Yeah,
brilliant. And Prithvi's on the marketplace, you can check him out on there. The podcast will be on there as well. And I think we need to do it. When's the next video out?
I think by mid-September.
Mid-September, okay, yeah. You need to basically go and follow him on LinkedIn because his videos are classic.
Yes, please.
And, they're definitely not. He doesn't hold back, put it that way. So they're really interesting. Look, thanks very much, mate. I really appreciate you coming in.
Thank you, Chris.
He came early today just to help me.
My pleasure.
I appreciate you.
My pleasure.
That's it. Thank you very much, and we'll see you all soon.
Absolutely.
Cheers.